Acha.
And this was 6 months before.
Hmm.
And now I'm finding it difficult to surrender when the guru wants you to do a certain type of mission or a certain type of service.
Hmm.
And sometimes I feel that it's beyond my nature. Sometimes I find it difficult, or I have to go beyond my natural capabilities. So, should one be honest to the guru, or should one try and persevere?
Guru Seva. What is the limit of Guru Seva? Where does one start or stop or extend himself? Or what is the meaning of Guru Seva? So, of course, there's different objectives in the mind of the guru when he gives services to the disciple. And generally, the guru, he gives services to the disciple according to the capacity of the disciple. And the guru may see larger capacity in the disciple than the disciple sees in himself. But the guru is usually not unreasonable. In other words, if you have no experience at all in architecture or design, he won't say, okay, I'm building a new temple, I want you to draw the blueprints. And he'll say, I don't know what is blueprint. because you're a doctor and you're a heart surgeon. So your training and your qualification is in heart surgery. So obviously, generally, you probably wouldn't have any experience in architecture or design or blueprints. So gurus usually function on the principles of logic. They aren't illogical. Like, he won't tell some man, I want you to have babies. And he said, but I'm not married and I'm not a woman. You know, it's not physically possible for a man to produce babies. It's like maybe a joke, but so the guru, of course, that's why it's a very delicate relationship, because actually the real principle that's at work here that determines one's success in human life is the principle of Sharanagati. And that's the principle of surrender. Because for unlimited lifetimes, we've been attached to the various bodies that we're inhabiting. No matter what life form that is, the jiva becomes inextricably attached. There's one story about how Indra, as usual, he was misbehaving with some sage's wife, and because he has a tendency to do that, he's a little bit passionate, because he's very wealthy, and he's very powerful, and he's very handsome. So these are bad combinations. He's very powerful and influential. He's the king of heaven. So he has a tendency to exploit his opulence and take advantage of other people's wives, especially, or unmarried girls, or whatever. So he gets himself in trouble. Like, someone may be a very big person, but sometimes he misbehaves. There's a classic story of the president of America who misbehaved with his, I don't know, sweeper lady or something like that. I don't know, I don't remember. Some big details about some guy who was a president. It's a big position. Maybe handsome and certainly powerful, but he misbehaved with a sweeper lady or something. Isn't there some story like that? Clinton or something like that?
Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, everybody seems to know the details. So then people didn't appreciate. Some did, some didn't. So Indra, he was fooling around and he got cursed to become a pig. So that's a pretty low position. There's not much influence in being a pig. You don't have a very big circle of interest, and certainly don't exhibit much opulence or beauty. Pig is not considered to be a very beautiful animal, a very powerful, opulent, rich, or influential. But now, inside the pig's body is a jiva. It happens to be the jiva, the Indra. And Indra, of course, is a position, it's a post, just like prime minister or president is a post. So any particular jiva can attain the president's position or prime minister's position if they have the qualification. So any qualified jiva can become Indra at any particular kalpa. So this jiva who became Indra now became cursed to become a pig. And in a king's body, a pig's body, he got his Mrs. Pig, his wife, and his little piglets, about 12 of them. You know, they have quite a lot at one time, 12 or 16, like this. So he had a very substantial family. He was very proud of his family. They were very loyal children, very obedient, respectful. They would eat stool together and... They would eat stool together and go in the mud and run in the fields together and sing and have a good time. So he became, that jiva in that body became very, very attached to that body. He didn't want to give up that body, didn't want to surrender, he didn't want to go anywhere. So his term of curse was over, and because he was cursed to be in a pig for some time. So Lord Brahma, he came down to meet Mr. Pig, the former Indra. He said, listen, your time is up now. Your curse is over. It's been 1 year, and now you can come back to your post in heaven. You give up that body and come with me. No, 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 this is very nice. I'm having a good time here. My family's become very large now. I have 32 children. My wife had kids thrice, 12 and 12 and 14 or whatever. So now I have 32 children, and I have a very large mud hole here. Big mud hole, where we live, and this now I'm in charge of the village stool field. my family, this whole village, the whole stool field is our, it's my stool field now. I've worked my way up, now I have this position, I'm in charge of the stool field. So I'm enjoying this opulence of this body, and Indra was saying, Brahma was saying, you stupid, this is a horrible existence. Terrible, horrible existence. Give up this body. Surrender this body. Get out. Come with me. He said, no, I prefer to stay here. So then Brahma gave him a slap. Tong! He slapped him in the snout. In the pig snout. Nose is called snout. And then he knocked him dead. He killed him. It was a TKO. It was a big, good shot. So Indra was finished, and then he took Indra and reinstated him in his former position as the ruler of heaven, with all his grander opulence and power and beauty. So the point of the story is that wherever the jiva finds himself, he becomes very attached. Aham ameti, janasyaho yamam aham ameti. I and mine, aham ameti. This is my house, my body, my car. We become very attached to it. So we have a human form of life, Mr. Gujarati or Mrs. Gujarati or whoever. And then we've come to Guru. And Guru understands that my disciples, my students are very much attached to their surroundings, to their family, to their body, to their sense enjoyment. Basically, they're attached, just like Indra. And so my duty is to arrange the means and wherefore to detach them from this material energy and this material body and attach them to Krishna. Attached into the spiritual world, the spiritual family, and the seva of the Lord. The eternal service of the Lord, loving service of the Lord. It's called Krishna Sambandha. Establish them in a relationship with God. The Guru gives different sevas to establish the relationship of the jiva with God and to bring about surrender. Because the quicker we surrender our ego, our false identity, our mind, our intelligence, to the service of God, the sooner we go there. Our existence in this material body and our existence in this material world is based on attachment and based on karma, desire. So the Guru has to very cleverly and extricate each jiva, each disciple from the material entanglement by giving various medicines, like a doctor cures his patient, by administering the specific medicine for the specific disease. So generally, the common disease is material attachment. And the cure-all for material attachment, or the medicine that the Guru is administering, is different forms of surrender, trying to elicit surrender, sharanagati, which has six aspects: accepting everything favorable for the Lord and rejecting everything unfavorable. So this is the Guru. He gives seva, whatever seva, hearing, chanting, nam seva, prasad seva, Thakurji seva, Guru seva, sankirtan, preaching, reading, all these are different forms of seva. And the whole idea, the whole purpose behind all seva is to bring one to the point of sharanagati, surrender. And if the seva isn't difficult, just like what they say in Ayurveda, if the disease is very severe, then the medicine is more bitter. Because in Ayurveda, they have medicines of all the five rasas. They have bitter medicines and pungent medicines and sweet medicines. So the more severe the disease, the more bitter the medicine. There's a saying like that. So the more attached the disciple is to the material world, the more bitter the seva is. The more difficult the seva is given by the guru to detach the disciple. So the guru as we heard from Prabhupada, guru is well-wisher, ever well-wisher. So he is hitakarano. Namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmana hitayaja. Go brahmana hitayaja. That the go and brahman, the brahman and the cow, they live in this world, hita. Hita means for the benefit of others. So whatever the guru is doing for the disciples, for his benefit. Lokanam hitakarano tribhuvane. And Srinivasacharya glorified the six Goswamis. Lokanam hitakarano. Nana shastra vicharana kinipano siddharma sanstapago. Lokanam hitakarano tribhuvane. So lokanam hitakarano, that karan, they are the cause of benefit for everyone. You know this prayer, six Goswamis. Nana shastra vicharana kinipano siddharma sanstapago. Lokanam hitakarano tribhuvane manyo sharanya karo. Radha Krishna padaravinda bhajana nandena mataliko. Vande rupa sanatana urubhuyago sri jiva gopalako. So their existing, the six Goswamis were creating benefit for tribhuvana. Om bhurbhuvasva. Lokatri, for all the planets and all the people and all the planets and all the three worlds, by their studying of the shastras, by their producing the shastras, and by their teaching the shastras, and by their living the shastras. So the guru is a representative of the Goswamis, Guru Goswami Gauranga. And he also is a Brahmin, and he's more than a Brahmin, he's a Vaishnava. And he's also thinking of the benefit of the disciple. And he gives some service that the disciples says, oh, this is very difficult. Because no service can be done unless the jiva connects with God. Arjuna was given the service of shooting arrows. Yudhyacha. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha. Krishna said yudhyacha. He said fight, but anusmaran. Anusmaran means remember me from moment to moment. That means whatever seva we do, you must be connected with Krishna. Right? This is in Bhagavad Gita. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha. Tasmat sarveshu sarvakal. At all times, remember me and fight. So, service, if we connect ourselves with Krishna, then that's service. That's seva. So the jiva has to surrender. In order to connect with Krishna, you have to surrender. It's a very interesting principle about service. Sometimes a guru will give a very easy service, what seems to be a very easy service to a disciple. But because the disciple's attitude is not so surrendered, it may become very difficult. For example, the guru says, now, this evening for worshipping Thakurji, I'm going to make some, I want to offer some applesauce. So you take some money and you go to the market and buy some apples. 1 kilo of apples. Save. Your seva is to buy save. Save means apple in Hindi. Is that right? So your seva is to buy save. So he tells him that at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then the guru goes on to do his writing and chanting and whatever. So then the brahmachari says, oh, this is so easy. Guruji only asked me to do a very simple service today. Oh, I have to get some apples by 7:30 and he'll cook and he'll make offering 8 o'clock tonight. I have 12 hours to do this service. It's a very simple service. Anybody can do this service. It's so simple. So let me take it easy. I chant my 16 rounds and there's nothing else to do and I feel tired, so I go to sleep. So then he sleeps, and he sleeps, and he sleeps, and he sleeps. And then he gets up, and he's, oh, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, I better go, it's getting late, I better get those apples. So then he goes to the market, and then to the sabji wala where he buys the fruit, and it's closed. He says, oh. And he looks around, he sees other shops are closed. And he said, what happened? Oh, some baniya, he got shot. And so all the market, everyone's closed their shop. There's been an all after, since 12 o'clock all the shops have been banned. This is a very common thing in the village, I don't know about Delhi, but something, some tragedy happens somewhere or whatever, and then all the shops will close in sympathy. All the baniyas and whatever. So he said, oh, the fruit shop is closed. When are they going to open? Well, they'll open tomorrow morning. Much, okay, well, I know there's on the other side of town there's another fruit wala. So now it's 4:30. Now he runs to the other side of town. Now it's 5:15 in the evening. And he says, and he looks at that fruit shop. Oh, this one's closed also. Oh, now it's 5:30. Guruji needs these by 7:30. Oh, this, well, maybe the other side of town. Maybe I go to Lajpat Nagar. So then he goes to Lajpat Nagar. All the shops are there closed too. He said, what's going on? All the shops, all the, especially all the fruit and vegetable shops. Oh yes, there's a national, all India national truck strike. And so no fruit or produce is being delivered in Delhi. Acha? Well, everywhere? Well, maybe you can find somewhere you can try. Oh, okay. Let me go to Connaught Place. So now he goes to Connaught Place and now it's 6:15 in the evening. And he goes to some fruit wallahs there and they're all closed. He says, oh my God, now it's 6:30 and in 1 hour Guruji needs those apples. So then he goes, oh, I'll go to Old Delhi. Old Delhi, they have a different law over there. They always have something. So then he goes to Old Delhi and everything's closed. And now it's 7:15. He says, oh my God, it's going to take me, I have to rush back to the ashram. So he gets back to the ashram and Guru's in the kitchen, Didi kitchen, preparing the offering. He says, so where are those apples? Gurudev, you sure you need apples? So now it's 7:30 and there's no apples. He said, what happened? No, I had the sankalpa to offer this to Thakurji and now I don't have. He said, and then the buts came. Well, Gurudev, I tried, but. There was so many, all the buts came, B-U-T, right? I say that this word should be eliminated in the English language. Two words, in Prabhupada's dictionary, he said in ISKCON dictionary, because we have our own dictionary, there's Webster's dictionary and Funk and Wagnalls and Merriam and many dictionaries. There's one called ISKCON dictionary, ISKCON Kosh. You have the Amar Kosh and there's different Kosh. Kosh means dictionary. So ISKCON Kosh, you can look up so many words. Aardvark is an anteater. And all these different kinds of words. But you won't find the word impossible. Impossible is not an ISKCON dictionary. So I was thinking if we made a new edition of the dictionary, we'd also leave out the word but. B-U-T. That, oh, did you do this? Well, I was trying to, but. So this example, this small story, shows that the guru gave a very simple service. But because the disciple didn't surrender, and he put his own agenda first, and his own sense gratification first, and he didn't actually surrender, then it became very difficult to the point of being impossible. That actually circumstance was such. So the point of that story is that if someone is given some seva, first of all, it's a privilege. Krishna doesn't need our seva. He says, Lord Brahma is saying Sahasra Lakshmi, was it that verse is Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sevyamanam. He says that Krishna Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Lakshmi Sahasra Sata, hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, Sevyamanam, are rendering service to Krishna at every moment. And do we think for 1 second that we can render better service to Krishna than the thousands of goddesses of fortune, who are the personification of auspiciousness and kala and arts and talents and intelligence and beauty and music and everything. So therefore, he doesn't really need our service since he's surrounded by millions of, highly qualified servitors with spiritual bodies. But by the mercy of his causeless mercy, we're given an opportunity, we're given a privilege. It's actually a great privilege. It's not a right, and it's not guaranteed right. It's a privilege to serve Krishna. So that's the first thing we should think. So when we're given a privilege, we should think, well, I'm so fortunate. I've been given a service to do for Krishna's pleasure by my Gurudev, who's connecting me with Krishna. Let me do it immediately. No procrastination here. I can exercise procrastination, which means putting something off till later. I can procrastinate, or I can, in terms of anything else, materially. Of course, it's not a good idea anyway. It's tamasic. Procrastination is due to the influence of tamagun in one's mind. One's mind and body have tamagun inside, so then he tends to procrastinate. They even have phrases in English. Don't do now what you can do tomorrow. They have shlokas like this. Don't do now what you can do tomorrow. In other words, put it off. If you can do it, if you can put it off till tomorrow. Don't do it now. So these are shlokas from the Tamasic Gita, Tamagun Gita. But in the spiritual circles, we should say, oh, what? I'm very fortunate. Let me do this service immediately. That's one point. And the second point is that service is an opportunity to surrender. It's an opportunity to surrender, and that's really what seva is all about. It's all about surrender. It's not about so much about the actual seva. Because the guru, as we often heard, we hear descriptions, the guru is Sarvadeva Maya Guru. Sarvadeva Maya Guru. So when you read Ramayana, Ramayana, and you hear the story of Hanuman, or especially in Ramcharitamanas, you hear how when he was little, he was hungry, so he jumped up and swallowed the sun. He thought it was a mango. He thought it was a yellow mango in the sky, so he swallowed it. And there was no sun. So then all the devas, they came and they said, please give us the sun back. And it was really necessary to have a sun planet. And then, so then they benedicted him. All the devas gave him different powers. So many different powers that he accumulated as a young child, which he later used in Ram's service. So many, it's called vibhutis, opulences and powers and strengths. So that's, the demigods have their different powers and strengths, and they gave them to Hanuman. And Hanuman exhibited such wonderful service, or such wonderful ability in the service of Ramchandra. So now you see, it says in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna is telling that the guru is Sarvadeva Maya Guru. Sarvadeva Maya Guru, that Sarvadeva Maya, that the guru is made of all the energy, all the vibhutis, all the power of the demigods. So therefore, guru can do anything without us. He doesn't need our service. As Krishna doesn't need our service, guru doesn't need our service. And so it's a privilege. And so when we have an opportunity to do service, guru is not actually asking for service, he's asking for surrender. He's not engaging us in seva that we can't do, he's engaging us in surrender. So it's the response is not actually, oh, my guru gave me a service I can't do. The actual point is, the guru is asking me to surrender to an extent which I'm not ready to do. It's not seva, because seva actually means surrender. This is what I'm trying to convey to you. So when he gives a service, oh, I'm not ready to do this service, what it actually, the disciple is saying is, I'm not ready to surrender that much of my independence to Krishna for his pleasure. Because I am attached to my comfort, to my position, to my prestige, to my... Well, there's not much left in that. My everything. Oftentimes, Srila Prabhupada would give very strenuous and difficult services to his disciples. And most of them were pretty surrendered, and they would try their best to do it. And sometimes they would come back and say, Prabhupada, I tried my best, I can't do it. I really tried. And Prabhupada would say, well, keep trying or try again. Or assessing the situation, and Prabhupada would say, okay, you tried your best, okay, let me give you another service. So then we give a different service. But they would try. So when given a service by Guru, we should try our level best with everything in our command to execute that service and fulfill that demand. Because generally, it's if we surrender, it can be done. Because it's actually not being done by us, but by being done through us. Service is being done through us, not by us. There's the There's a term in Sanskrit, naimittik karan, upadan karan and naimittik karan. Upadan karan, the efficient cause and the immediate cause, put it in English. Upadan karan and naimittik karan, the immediate cause and the efficient cause. So the cause of the cause of the cause. Like we see, well, this man came and he hit me on the head with a hammer. And my head hurts. You say katora? Katora means hammer? Katora. Hatora. We use it, he had a hatora and it's hot. Hot means hand in Sanskrit. So, he hit me on the head, now my head hurts. So, this man is the source of my head pain, my shirdard. Right? He hit me on the head. Or you might even say, oh, it's the hammer. This hammer is bad. This hammer hit my in the head. No, the hammer didn't hit you on the head, the man hit you on the head. So you might say the immediate cause of my head pain is the man hit me on the head. But the efficient cause is actually me. Because if I go back to the cause of the cause of the cause of the cause, in my last life I hit him on the head with a hammer. Or maybe a bigger hammer. Well, because I'm a devotee, he came and hit me with a smaller hammer. Krishna reduced my karma. So there's a cause behind the cause behind the cause. And this is the problem with the mundane scientists. They don't go back and see the original cause, the cause of all causes, sarvakarana karanam, is Krishna, Govindamadi Purusham. So the actual ability to be successful in seva is not our ability, but Krishna, Purusham Rishu. Krishna says in Gita that I am Purusham Rishu, I am the ability in man. This is in a verse. Maybe 7 or whatever it is. Rasam Apsakontaya. And that same logic or line of action was advised by Krishna Arjuna. He says, Nimitta Matram, be thou an instrument of my will. Be thou an instrument of my will to fight on this battle of Kurukshetra. So, seva means to link with God, anusmaran, to remember God and remember Guru, and to act. If you're a Kshatriya, you fight. Mama Nusmara Yudhacha, you fight and remember Krishna. Whatever your service is, you remember Guru and God and you act. And then the ability to complete that action, the power to complete that action, the intelligence, the energy, the enthusiasm, that's all coming from the Super Soul. It's all coming from God. In our hand, we have the ability in the hand, the Jiva, the Shishya, has the ability to surrender or not surrender. If you surrender, then you can become a good instrument. If you don't surrender, you can't be a good instrument. The flow is coming from there. The flow is coming from above. It's called avaroha. The flow is descending from Krishna down to the guru, down to the disciple. So when was it Guru within and Krishna above or something like that? I forget the phrase. So most cases, the problem with the Guru disciple is not the seva that's being given, but the inability of the disciple to surrender. He finds it too hard or too difficult or too demanding. But at least he should try his best. He tries his best to execute the service, to plead for the pleasure of Krishna and Guru. And if he's incapable of rendering that service, then he has to very humbly submit at the feet of the Guru and say, I tried my level best, but I was unsuccessful. Please forgive me. I was not able to surrender sufficiently to do that, but don't give up on me. Maybe you can engage me in another service. It's like this. So Guru is not a dictator. Guru is not Stalin or Hitler. If you don't do the service, then you get put in the jail. Because service is based on love. Service is based on love. And service is love. Bhakti means love. Service is based on love. Submission, the basis of submission is love, not fear. Spiritual submission is based on love. So it's a loving relationship. Guru Shishya Sambandha. Love for God begins with love for Guru. It's impossible. One time Prabhupada was talking with some disciples, and they were saying, Prabhupada, you know, I like Krishna, I like the deities, I like serving them, and I feel some feelings for them, but I can't get along very much with my god brothers, god sisters, and devotees. I can't get along very much with them. I don't have much feelings for them. I don't have any affection for them. I rather like being by myself doing service. And Prabhupada responded by saying, if you can't love the devotees, how can you love Krishna? Because Krishna is not an island to himself. He's not alone. Krishna is surrounded by his parishads, nitya parishads. They're always there. And then Prabhupada went on to say that love for Krishna begins with love for Guru and love for devotees. If you love me, love my dog. This is a phrase they say. Love me, love my dog. Because in the West, people have dogs. It's a Western phrase. And they always walk with a dog. So you see the man, oh, hello, Mr. Jones, you're my friend. Nice to see you. And then you kick the dog in the face. Oh, this dog is dirty. And I kick him. Ow, ow, ow. Then, well, the master won't be very happy. Hey, you kicked my dog in the face. What is this? And he won't be happy. The dog is his possession. The dog is his object of attachment. The dog is his object of affection. He cares for the dog, and you kick the object of affection in the face. So the disciples, the devotees of the Lord are the objects of the Lord's affection. They are the beloveds of the Lord. They're inseparable. Saranam ridyamayam, saranam ridyatvaham. Krishna, Lord Vishnu, told Ambarish, Durvasa Muni, the ninth canto, he said, you should understand, Durvasa, you have offended Ambarish. And Ambarish is a great devotee sadhu. Sadhu devotee. Sadhu Vaishnava. And I, saranam ridyamayam, saranam ridyatvaham. The sadhu is always in my riddhi, in my heart. The devotee is always in my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the devotee. So you offended him, so you better beg him for forgiveness. Although you're a big Maharishi, Devarishi, Maharishi, right? Durvasa, right? Great, austere, powerful, ferocious Rishi, yet, and who's such a high Varna, such a high position, he has to come back and surrender to a Kshatriya, a Grihastha. He's a sannyasi, Vairagi, Siri Yogi, so high position. And he has to go down to a Grihastha. There's Brahmachari, Grihastha, Nani, then there's Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, and Vairagya, and Siddha Mahatma. And he's a king. King means money and women. Right? And he's a big yogi, but he's a big devotee. He's Parambhakt. Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayora Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanar Varanane. It's described Ambarish was engaging all of his senses in mind. Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayora. His mind was always fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanar Varanane. Vacha, Sri Bhagavana Vacha, Arjuna Vacha, his words were always engaged. Vaikunthanath, glorifying the qualities, Nam Rup Gun Leela, Vaikunthanath, Lord of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Narayan, Lakshmi Nath, Lord Vishnu. So he's Param Bhakta. You're Param Siddhi Yoga, Siddhi Yogi, Durvasa, but he's Param Bhakta. Param Bhakta is much more than any Siddhi Yoga, Yogi. So the devotees are so, if you love me, love my dog. So we have to learn to love the devotees also. Firstly, love the devotees, love Guru. Guru shows how to love, actually. Guru shows how to love. The devotees show how to love. And then the disciple learns how to love from Guru and devotees. And then he learns from them how to love Krishna. So love means surrender. Love means service. Love means cooperation. Love means submission. This is what Seva is all about. Seva is all about learning to develop and exhibit and experience the quality of submission and surrender based on love. Guru Prem. Guru Prem, Vaishnav Prem, Bhagavan Prem.
When the Guru does give you a service, how do you give up the attachments? Because that is what's happening basically. My attachments are overcrowding my desire to serve the master. So
Yeah, well, that the thing is that, I mean, giving up attachments in any circumstance, I mean, attachments are preventing you from, keeping you from surrendering to do the service. That's due to a lack of conviction. You're not convinced that this service is the most important thing for me. At this point, we're convinced that our attachments are more important. Our attachments or our material comfort is more important than the service that's given. So that's due to that lack of conviction. Is due to a lack of hearing. We haven't heard sufficiently to get the realization. That's why it's called Shravanam. First is Shravanadasha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains Shravanadasha, Apanadasha, like this, five different levels of perfection. So unless one sufficiently hears the Tattva Siddhanta and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and then considers that philosophy and then understands that philosophy, it's very hard to get conviction. Just do something out of... Someone says, okay, do this, but you don't have any philosophical foundation. That's why we say the basis of we talked about Guru Shishya Sambandha, but the basis of that Sambandha is Sambandha Gyan. The basis of any relationship is Gyan. And in this case, it's Vishnu Gyan. I mean, there's Brahman Gyan or Advaya Gyan, knowledge of Brahman, but this is Vishnu Gyan, knowledge of Vishnu, Krishna Tattva. So this is the Sambandha Tattva, Sambandha Gyan. The basis, the foundation, the beginning is knowledge. So that's why the Guru generally, before he gives very much service, the first service he gives is Shravanadasha, to hear and to read and hear and study deeply. So then, and then when there's some good foundation, then you can build. But the foundation is weak and you make a house, the house will fall down. So before there's Abhideya, there's Sambandha. Sambandha Gyan, then Sambandha, then Abhideya Prayojan. Prayojan is the goal. Abhideya is the means to the goal. And Sambandha is the foundation or the establishment, establishing the basis to work on. Abhideya is the work. You have a factory, so much work is going there, but first you have to make the factory. Okay, everybody, you go out in this field. Everybody, come on, join me. Come on this field over here. Come over to this field. Okay, you got 100 people. I'll pay you 100 rupees a day. Come join me. So 100 people join you. And they go out in the field. You say, now we're going to make shoes. And you're going to work for me. And the guy says, and the people say, well, where's the machines? Where's the... It's just a field. You have a field, and you have 100 workers, and you're the boss. Where's the raw material? Where's the machines? Where's the rooftop? So that there's no foundation. So the work is the Abhideya, but there has to be a foundation in order to work in. And then the goal is the finished product of that work. You're working to produce a product, make a pair of shoes. But you need some format. You need some foundation. You need some arrangement. There has to be some arrangement. There must be a roof over your head. How do you make shoes when it rains or snows or whatever? So you need some walls and some floors and some fans and some electric power and some machinery and some organization. So this is all the foundation. So Sambandha is that. And once, if you establish a proper factory with proper planning, and then you get the workers, all the proper machinery, then there's good output. There's very good output. Very good production. And then you have arrangements for selling and shipping your product, and you make a good profit. So that's the goal of your production line. So that if the foundation is good, then the product is good. So if there's a good Sambandha Gyan, good Sambandha, Guru Sambandha, Krishna Sambandha, then you can do proper service. Then the ability to surrender, an ability to give up mundane attachments and useless attachments and meaningless attachments is very not so difficult. Because you have a strong foundation of knowledge and realization of your actual identity, of your existential identity. Yes, I am a servant of Krishna. This is my real identity. I studied it. I thought about it. I realized it. I meditated on it. And I that this is more important to me than anything else in life. And all these other things is just projections of my karma. My prarabdha karma has pushed me into this woman's body, or pushed me into this man's body. And this prarabdha karma has pushed me into this ashram or this varna. But this is all lokic consideration. This is not alokic. This is not actually Sanatana Dharma. This is all Deha Dharma. This is not Atma Dharma. This is Deha Dharma. It's all functional activities related to this body, this material body, and it's all related to the modes of nature and varna and ashram. But there's something called Atma Dharma, eternal Sanatana Dharma, Jiva Dharma, the Dharma or the action of the religion of the soul. And I realize that I am different, that I am not the body, Aham Brahmasmi, actually, and I'm not this body. And I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. This is my sarup. I perceive it, I feel it, I understand it. And I want it, I want to realize it. And this is the way, so I put everything else that's not related to this secondary. I reject everything that's against this. Everything that's against Krishna's service, everything that's against Krishna's relationship, I reject it. Pratikulyasya varjanam, varjit, I throw away. It's pratikul, it's against my interest. I accept everything that's favorable for Krishna's service. And so we accept everything that's favorable for Krishna's service. So that, we have to have that understanding. So that's why knowledge, any activity begins with knowledge. So the service of Guru, Guru Seva, is an activity. It's a primary activity. It's eternal activity. It's Nitya Dharma. It's not Naimittic Dharma. Deha Dharma is Naimittic. It's occasional. It's temporary. Now you're a Brahmin and you're engaged in Brahmin Dharma, because that's your Varna Dharma. It's Naimittic, it's occasional, it's not eternal. Right? So we have to understand that, and once we understand it, then we get the energy. Knowledge is Shakti. Krishna has 16 different Shaktis, and one of them is called Vidya, another one is called Avidya. Posh, Tushti, Pushti, Gir, Leela. These are different Shaktis. Shakti means power, potency, energy, female. Shakti and Shaktiman, yin and yang, negative and positive, aggressive and receptive. Shakti is a potency, a power. So one of those Shaktis is called avidya, which means the power of ignorance. Ignorance is also power. Just see in the Bhagavatam class. see how much ignorance, how much power ignorance has. Avidya Shakti. When you start falling asleep in Bhagavatam class. So that power takes you to sleep. If you surrender, you have all the power of God on your side. Because as I mentioned, seva is not a material action. Because when we think it's material action, then we become like the brahmachari told in the story. He thought, oh, this is so easy. The fruit shop is only 10 minutes away. I can go tonight and get the fruit and bring it to Gurudev. But he's not thinking that. This is one of the symptoms of surrender, is that I may be capable of doing something, but I feel incapable without the mercy of the Lord. Always feeling dependent. It's called karpanya, humility. Always depending on the mercy of the Lord. So, okay, this is an easy service, but oh Krishna, please help me. Please help me buy these apples. I should do it right now. And please make all the arrangements so I can get very good quality apples and get the best from my Gurudev and for Krishna's seva. And let me do it nicely. And like this. So even as simple as service, we don't feel that, oh, this is easy, I can do it. Disciple, it always depends on Krishna and Guru. They're doing it, I'm simply the instrument. By my humility, by my surrender, by my attitude, by my proper attitude, then I can be used as a instrument in the will of, to execute the will of the Lord. Like our Srila Prabhupada, his guru by Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami, he glorified Prabhupada back in the 80s. He said, your Gurudev was Shaktyavesh avatar of Nityananda. Shaktyavesh. That he was a vesh means absorbed in. He was absorbed in the power, he had all the power of Nityananda to spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world in such a fantastic way. So Prabhupada was used by Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga to spread Krishna consciousness. The power was coming from them. That's what I was mentioning earlier, before the break, is that Krishna has different Shakti, so Vidya is also a Shakti. And Avidya is a Shakti. Vidya Shakti, Vidya Devi, or Paravidya, or Mahavidya. There's a goddess, of course. There's one temple called near Mathura called Mahavidya Devi. Create knowledge. So there's Paravidya, which means transcendental knowledge, and there's ordinary Vidya, knowledge of this world. So when, back to the point I was making, when one is doing Shravana, performing Shravana Dasha, absorbed in hearing Hari Katha and Bhagavad Katha and the Gaudiya Vaishnav Tattva Siddhanta, then he's not only reading and trying to understand and taking notes and considering the subject matter, but he's absorbing Shakti. He's collecting Shakti. Because I mentioned, Vidya, knowledge, is power. Even they have phrases like that. The karmis, or usually schools, they advertise like that. Knowledge is power. Join our computer school, or whatever. They have these billboards and things. Because knowledge is power. Power means Shakti. Shakti means power, potency, ability. So when one has sufficient Shakti, then he can do something. If you have no power, then you can't do anything. So this knowledge is also a power. So the knowledge, the power that we need is the power to surrender, the power to give up our attachments, the power to do the seva, which is based on these two points. So where do we get the power to give up our material attachments? Where do we get the power to surrender? Well, that's based on the Shakti. That Shakti comes from the Paravidya. So that's why I go back to my original point. The more you study, the more you hear, and make a strong basis of Sambandha, the more Shakti, the power you get. It's a power. It's called, and the power is the power of intellect. It's called the power of intellect, means buddhi, buddhi Shakti. The Shakti is nourished by knowledge. The buddhi is nourished by knowledge. So this transcendental knowledge nourishes the buddhi, strengthens the intelligence. The intelligence becomes strong, gets power. The spiritual knowledge, Gita Gyan, Bhagavad Gyan, the spiritual knowledge gives power and strength to the buddhi, to the intelligence. And that powerful intelligence can overrule the mind and senses. Because now mostly the mind and senses are the emperor of our existence. We are being controlled by our mind and senses. The mind says, oh, go here, go there. You get this, get that. You want this, you want that. Accept this, reject this. Sankalpa, vikalpa, sankalpa, vikalpa. This is good, take it. This is bad, reject it. And the senses say, oh, this is nice, take it. This is bad, reject it. It's all mental impressions. It's all manovritti. We're simply riding the waves of the mind. Like they surfing, the surfers ride the waves in the ocean on the surfboard. So the jiva is riding the waves of the mind. It's called manovritti, the manasic vibration. This way, he rides this way. Oh, this is good. It goes this way. Oh, well, that's good. Let's go that way. So, but because the intelligence is just blind. Intelligence is weak because of insufficient divya gyan. That's what diksha means. Diksha means divyate sha, means destroys ignorance. That transcendental knowledge which destroys ignorance is called diksha. Diksha. Divya gyan sha. Nash. So this diksha is a process by which one gets intelligence. He gets the power to see. Divya drishti, gyan drishti, tattva drishti. The guru is a tattva darshi. He can see. On the basis of tattva, he can see. On the basis of tattva gyan, spiritual tattva, he can see Krishna, he can see reality, he can see what to do, what not to do. See the path of proper action. He can see the path of mukti, mukti marg. And he can point a devotee, disciple on that path. Then he can give drishti to the disciple. So then the disciple becomes a tattvagyani. He knows the truth. He understands the truth deeply. And he's realized the truth, then he can live the truth and act upon the truth and serve the truth and realize the truth and then see the truth. Because ultimately darshan means to see the truth. Darshan first means to know, philosophy. And when you know something deeply enough, then you see it. You know it so well that you can see it. Like Mozart knew music so well that he used to see musical notes in the air. There's a story of his biography. When he was young, he was writing music as notes. He would write the notes, G clef and this and that, all these things in Western music. So he would open his eyes and he would see music in the sky. And he would just take it out of the sky and write it down. So when you know the truth so much, the truth is God. The truth, they used to have a phrase I remember in America, the truth will set you free. That's a fact. The truth will set you free. If you know the absolute truth, you become free from birth and death. Janma karma chame divyam evam yovati tatvata tyaktvam dehum punar janma nayati mamati sarjana. Krishna says in the fourth chapter of Gita, verse 9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yovati tatvata. Tatva. Tatva means truth. Tatva. Ishvara tatva, jiva tatva, nam tatva, rasa tatva. So Krishna is saying, Janma karma chame divyam. Divyam, if you know the truth of my transcendental janma, appearance and activities, lila or play or whatever, karma, activities, then naiti mamati sorjana, there's no more birth. You don't take another birth, which means you get free. The truth shall set you free. If you know the absolute truth, you'll get mukti, you'll get free. Because Krishna's name is Mukunda, Mukti Datta. He who gives mukti, Mukti Datta Prajayate. So he who gives mukti is known as Mukunda. Mukti. Mukunda. Da means dadati, to give. Muk means Mukundi. Muk means mukti. So Krishna Mukunda, he's the giver of liberation. So if you know his knowledge, if you know his science, you have that truth. There's so much power in that truth. There's so much power in Krishna Gyan and this Atma Gyan, Tattva Gyan, Vishnu Gyan. There's so much power and Shakti there, in that Vidya Shakti, that you can get liberated, free from birth and death. So this is Sambandha Gyan. So if the Sambandha Gyan is insufficient, then the ability to perform Abhideya or Seva or practice will be very weak, because the foundation is weak. An abhideya, or practice, or service, or the means to the end, is based on surrender. So you can't surrender without sufficient knowledge. Now this is back to the point, first point. Shravana Dasha. Generally people are initiated and they don't know very much. They don't have much knowledge or understanding. So then the guru, if he asks them to do something, then they fall apart. They crumple, they crinkle. They collapse. I can't do it. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Because there's no sambandha, improper sambandha. First you have to build the foundation. If you want to make a 100-story building, you have to go 25 stories inside the ground. A 100-story building, first they go, if you want to go 100 stories up, first you have to go 25 stories down on the ground. 25 stories means 260 feet. You have to dig a hole 260 feet in the ground and start laying cement and steel and all these things and crossbars and RCC. Big, it's called plinth, big platform, 250 feet. So you go down 250 feet, then you build all that up, then you come to ground level. And that takes a few years. Where is this guy? Oh, he's in the hole. Where's the skyscraper? Oh, it's just now coming. Hey, you're going the wrong way. It's not scraping the sky, it's scraping the earth. Called skyscraper, as Prabhupada said, skyscraper. He pronounced it like that, skyscraper. He's very cute. He said, I just came from New York, there's so many skyscrapers. Skyscraper. So they go 250 feet in the ground, which takes several years to finish that. Then all of a sudden they start creeping up slowly, one story, 10 feet, 20 feet. Then pretty soon they're 110-story World Trade Center. So bhakti is a skyscraper to heaven. It's a skyscraper to the spiritual world. So you have to have a deep foundation. We're not just going 110 stories. We're going Bhur Bhuvah Swah. Bhur Bhuvah, Om Bhur Bhuvah Swah. Tat Savitur. Then we're going Janalok, Mahalok, Tapalok, Satyalok, Ramalok, Shivalok, then Paravyom, then Vaikuntha, and then Ayodhya, and then Dwarka, Mathura, then Braja. Braj. So that's a very tall skyscraper. You have to transit all, go by all those other inferior places, lokas. So it must be a very deep foundation.